be reciting or telling from the version of the translation called The Message by Eugene Peterson. I was going to invite you to sit down. My wife is right on cue. So hear now the gospel. There was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, who was a prominent leader of the Jews. And late one night, he came to Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we all know that you are a teacher straight from God, because no one can do the God-pointing, God-revealing acts that you do if God weren't a part of it." Jesus said to him, "You're absolutely right. And take it from me. Unless someone is born from above, it is impossible for them to see what I am pointing to, God's kingdom." "How can anyone," said Nicodemus, "be born having already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb. What do you mean by this born from above talk?" Jesus said to him, "You're not listening to me. Let me tell you again. Unless someone submits to the original creation, the wind hovering over the waters creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into new life, then it is not possible to enter the kingdom of God. Look at a baby. It's just that, a body that you can see and touch. But the person that is being shaped inside is formed by something we cannot see or touch, the Spirit. And it becomes a living spirit. So do not be surprised when I talk about you being born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know very well how the wind blows here and there. You hear it rustling in the trees, yet you do not know where it comes from or where it is headed. So it is with everyone who is born from above, with the wind of God, the Spirit of God. Nicodemus said, "What do you mean by this talk? How can this happen?" Jesus said to him, "Nicodemus, you are a respected teacher of Israel, and yet you do not know these basic things? Listen carefully. I speak solemn truth. I speak only what I know by experience, and I witness only to what I have seen by my own eyes. Yet, you refuse to confront the evidence, and you don't accept it. If I tell you things that are as plain as a hand in front of your face, and you do not understand it, then of what use is it for me to talk about invisible things, the things of God? No one has gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from the presence of God, the Son of Man. It is like when Moses put up the serpent in the desert so the people could see and believe. In the same way, the Son of Man must be raised up. And everyone who looks up to the Son of Man with trust and expectancy will gain real life, eternal life. This is how much God loves the world. God gave God's Son, God's only Son, and this is why. so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have whole and lasting life. God did not go to all the effort to send God's Son to merely point an accusing finger, to tell the world how bad it was, how bad it is. He came to help, to set things right. Whoever trusts in him is acquitted. Those who refuse to trust in him have long since been living under a death sentence without knowing it. Why? Because they refused to trust in the one and only Son of God when they were introduced to him. This is the dilemma we're in. God light streamed into the world, and men and women everywhere ran for darkness. They went to the darkness because they were really not interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil deeds, addicted to denial and delusion, they hate the God light and they won't come near it. But anyone who works and lives in truth and reality loves the God light. Because the work, their work, is seen as the work of God as it truly is. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You may have noticed that we have some visuals up here that we usually don't have. Today is our celebration of this school year of BLAST. It's not the end of BLAST, but it is our summer blast-off to our summer activities. And these are all the visuals for our dramas that we've been doing since last September. And before I go any further, I'd like to ask everybody here that has been involved in BLAST as a coordinator, a teacher, a helper, a facilitator, if you've been back there hammering or drawing or acting or conducting or baking or just being back there, would you please stand? Yeah, the young people too. Okay, good. Jim, standing. Yeah. Continue standing. Thank you for your efforts. And oh my, there are so many more folks that aren't here this morning that have been involved. And if you're curious about what we're doing, I invite you to come on back and just be a part of it. But I do want to lift up a few folks. There were some people that stepped up this spring to coordinate monthly activities. So Kathy is one of those, Lisa Rude, Carolyn Lewis, Sasha Craven. Did I miss anybody? Those are the four. And then Pastor Lauren, myself. And so special thanks to you, but thanks to all that have participated in the program and supported it. All right, you can sit down now. Yeah. So if you've been back there in BLAST, especially come back during the showcase Sundays, you'll recognize some of these posters. And they represent stories from the Bible. This is from Genesis, the story about creation. We had a drama on that. This is about the call of Abraham and Sarah. This is about Jacob and his wives Rachel and Leah and the birth of the 12 sons of Israel. This then moves toward the New Testament, where it was the anticipation of the coming Messiah, who is Jesus. Then Jesus' baptism. The world's real superhero, of course, is Jesus, and the story was the calming of the sea and the calling of the disciples. And then we move on to Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And then mishap on the cowboy trail is an updated version of the Good Samaritan. I got a chuckle from that one, mishap on the cowboy trail. and so if you look at it, in some sense, it's not the complete Bible, but certainly it represents what the Bible is for us. It's a story of God's relationship to us. As you begin here, they're kind of arranged in the flow of the Bible. You begin with creation, to the patriarchs, on toward the New Testament, and then on to Jesus' teaching. And as we stop and ponder the stories of the Bible, and we think about the God that is revealed to us, we're confronted with a mystery. Because as we ponder these stories and the other writings in the Bible, we hear of a God who is our Father, who created us, who walked with the patriarchs and matriarchs, who became real with flesh and blood in Jesus. Then also, but weaving all through this is a God of the Spirit that hovered over the waters of creation, the Spirit that was there and descended upon Jesus, and the Spirit that continues to animate the church. It's the mystery of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so there's a word that we use to capture that mystery, and that is the Holy Trinity. We know the ways that God is revealed to us, and we know that God is one. And there's no way to completely resolve that. There's no way for me to give you a formula for how it all works. We just claim it as a mystery. And in today's gospel, we're confronted with that same mystery. Because we have Jesus talking to a religious leader. And I give Nicodemus the benefit of the doubt. I think he truly was seeking the truth. He was still very attached to a system that wanted to exclude Jesus and to denounce him. But there was something he recognized that was of God and Jesus. So he asked these wonderful questions, questions that we all wonder about. How does the kingdom work? What is the Spirit? How do we enter into this kingdom? What does it look like to believe and trust in God? So he asked these questions. We have Jesus, the fleshed embodiment of God, acknowledging God the Father and talking about being born of the Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all through this. And I wonder if Nicodemus still had questions, because I still have questions. Oh, wouldn't it be great to say, Jesus, okay, we know God, we know you, and we know the Spirit. Can you explain exactly how it works? And actually, I know what Jesus' answer would be. He'd tell me a parable, wouldn't he? Because mysteries are not something you can solve. As soon as you solve them, the mystery is gone. And so the depth, the power, the majesty, the mystery of God, we will never solve. But it doesn't mean we can't believe. It doesn't mean then that we can't powerfully trust in Jesus with our lives. And that's where Jesus comes down. He says, look, yeah, you may be a little bit confused, but get this. Fundamentally, it comes down to God's love for the world. And as Jesus was standing there, he said, I am a manifestation of God's love. God took a part of God's self somehow and sent it down to speak, to teach, to tell these stories, to bring these stories to life so that people might know who God is and have the opportunity to, well, be born from above, to have a different reality than that which we can see and touch and feel here on earth, a reality that is given by God's kingdom. And it is a challenge to live in that kingdom. As Jesus said, God's light streamed into the world, and men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. Now, if you were all from Texas, you'd immediately think of cockroaches. You don't have cockroaches up here. It's a true curse that Calgary doesn't have cockroaches. Right. For me, this is the cockroach passage. Because if you've, God forbid, you've ever been in a house full of cockroaches, In the middle of the night, if you walk into the kitchen and turn on the light, all of a sudden there's this movement and there's this scrambling that happens. Because cockroaches, they just run for the darkness. And I don't know if Eugene Peterson intended this in his translation, but it really describes something very fundamental about us. There are things that we want to keep hidden. There are things that we don't want people to know about us. There's things we're ashamed of, or things that we just want to be about that we know aren't the right things. It's the cockroach part of us. And when the light comes on, and the light named Jesus, the light of the Holy Spirit, the light of God shines in, our temptation is to run and hide, isn't it? But thankfully, our better selves, that part that does want to please God, that recognizes that light, not as a light of accusation, but the light of life. It gives us the courage to step back out in the light, to repent of those things that aren't working, that don't work for us or work for the world, and allow them to be transformed so that the work that we are doing is work that is blessed by God, and not just blessed by God, but the work is of God. This is my prayer for each of you. This is my prayer for us. That this is a place where God's light is streaming in. And instead of running from the light, we run toward it. We allow it into all the corners of our minds, all the corners of our sin, to cleanse it, to illuminate it, to free us from that which traps us, so that we can be about the life-giving work that God has been about from the very beginning. Through the patriarchs, through the prophets, through the New Testament, through the apostles, and on to us, the church. Let us embrace this light. Let us trust in the God. Let us trust in Jesus, the giver of this light, who knows us inside and out and says, yes, I love you. Yes, I call you. Yes, come be a part of my kingdom. Amen.